So this is a big project. You see many authors on that title slide, and I will go explain what is the project about. That's why many people were involved in a two-year study. And all the research presented here was funded by the National Mango Board. So in the United States and North America, most of the mangoes that are consumed are imported. They're not really, there's a little bit grown in California and Florida, but most of the mangoes are imported from Central America and the Caribbean, mostly from Mexico. The bulk of the imports are from Mexico from March until September. Then Brazil picks up. Then Brazil, and then November, December, January, Ecuador, Peru, and finally a little bit from Guatemala and Haiti. Those data are from the National Mango Board website. National Mango Board has a very strong marketing message for the retailers of all the people who sell mangoes. And if you go and look at their website, they really encourage retailers to use some of their fun facts and marketing ideas. So it's kind of worth looking at that website and also how they promote the nutritional value of mangoes and how to cut the mangoes, because they also feel the consumers don't really know how to use mangoes. It's still a new fruit in the United States. And they also have posted a survey done in 2017, very large amount of people that were surveyed, 1,300 American consumers, and what they found out is mango is really still perceived as an exotic fruit, tropical fruit that tastes great. However, first of all, a lot of consumers still find it expensive, but also they find it difficult to use, difficult to slice. That's according to 40% of the respondents. They also found, because they conducted a similar study in 2013, that the purchase of sliced fruit had increased by 8% from 2013-2017. So the conclusion from the Mango Board is they're still trying to increase the consumption of mango fruit by promoting its nutritional values, all-year-round availability. That was another key point, that the consumers are not really aware that mangoes are available all-year-round in the United States on the markets, and also by promoting value-added. So fresh cut is a value-added. So this was the funding of a first project about survey the status of fresh-cut mangoes across, well, we didn't do across the United States because three partners were involved in that study, UC Davis, University of Florida Gainesville, and our lab in ARS in Fort Pierce. And what we did, each location chose three retail stores and sampling, we were going to the store and buying mangoes every other week or once a month. So that represented 9 individual stores or 6 retail chains, because some chains were common across the locations. And we were taking photos, measuring CO2, O2 in the package, measuring color, soluble solid, saturable acidity, and tasting the fruit. So the results, during the whole year. So, of course, there was a wide range of soluble solid contents. It varied from low 9% bricks to 16% degree bricks, titratable acidity, a low of 0.6%. Now, there was one number that had 1.8%, would be 1.1%. That means extremely sour fruit. I mean, this it hurts you. The ratio of soluble solids to titratable acidity would be as low as 5.4, which is really low. That's when a good mango would taste above 20 of soluble solid to titratable acidity ratio. And interestingly, also a lot of the packaging had really high CO2 content. Well, mango is not very susceptible to CO2 damage, but above 20-30%, we would expect some damage due to anaerobic condition. And in terms of taste, this is just a sample from the first 6 months for one store. And on this slide, this Excel does that combination of words. And the greater the letters, the more frequently the word was used. So you can see the sour was most frequently used word to describe those mangoes, and also unripe, green, starchy, off flavor. This retailer had some good mangoes, some mango flavor and piney flavor that also desirable in mango. So So also, if you do the cumulative scores of those sensory ratings, as we did, if you accumulate all the scores for appearance, texture, taste, and flavor, the maximum possible score would be 49. Well, if you can see for those two stores, one in Florida, both in Florida, one in Gainesville and one in ARS in Fort Pierce, there were very seldom scores above 30, the total score. So that's overall, the quality of the fruit we could find in the stores were not really good. So here an example, the first one to the left looks good, but actually I remember it didn't taste very good, but it looked pretty good. The one in the middle maybe looked more ripe and tasted very good, decent. And the last slide, and I'm not going to comment because sometimes a picture is worth 1,000 words. I don't know if you can see very well all the browning and how it looks, and it's like as hard as a carrot, basically. So our colleagues, also the PIs of that study, Jeff Brecht and Carlos Crisosto, also surveyed the process. They went to the processing plants and interrogated processors, and they realized that as soon as processors were receiving the fruit, they were being cut. So they were not ripening the fruit, what we call conditioning the fruit. And there were two reasons why they were not letting them ripen. Well, first of all, is that processors feel that peeling and cutting ripe fruit is more difficult. And I don't know if you ever tried, but it's true that the riper the mango, it gets really slippery when you cut it. So, you know, they work really fast in those processing plants. And since the retailers will accept unripe fresh-cut mangoes, why change the habits, right? So, and another point also is that, as I mentioned earlier, the packaging very often had very high CO2 content. So, well, the Mango Board was listened very carefully to those state of the survey of what is found on the market, and so therefore they funded a follow-up study this year, like 2017. We're still working on processing mangoes, but only for the two Florida labs. Sharon D was a graduate student in Dr. Brecht's lab at University of Florida, and she already did one study, but she was by herself at a very good study where she found out that measuring mangoes' firmness by compression, non-destructive measurements, was the best indicator of ripeness. But she also found that it really took 80 fruits to get only less than half fruit in the target range. And her target range was 35, 30, and 25 newton by compression. So these are the data for the firmness. She also found that for Kent, based on the color, the aspect of the slices, if the fruit were cut at 35 newton, they could only be stored 10 days. And as you were going softer or riper, it would be less. 25 newton could only be stored for 5 days. The retailers wanted 2 weeks shelf life. So, of course, if you cut, there is a compromise there. If you cut fruit riper, maybe they taste better, but they don't last as long. So what we decided in our two labs here, to go a little deeper and do more, since we were two, we duplicated everything, we had more hands. And so we repeated Sharon's D using, again, with Kent variety, and also Kit and Tommy Atkins, two varieties that also are important and being processed by a processor for fresh cut. So we first did non-destructive measurements once we received the fruit by compression, and then we do those measurements until we obtained three groups of firmness, same as Sharon, 35, 30, and 25 newton by compression. Wash the fruit. Then, right before cutting, we would do a destructive measurement by penetration to kind of match what the processors were doing. They would cut the fruit at about 40 newton firmness penetration. Then we sanitize the fruit, process, that means cut the fruit, and then we measure the cut fruit in storage every 3-4 days up to 2 weeks. And all the experiments were duplicated between the ARS lab in Fort Pierce and University of Florida in Gainesville. So I put this graph up because I thought it was very interesting to see that the firmness you measure on the fruit is different if you do it by compression and by penetration. So on the y-axis, you have the compression force of the fruit, so the non-destructive measurement, with the target, with our target of 35, 30, and 25 newton. And on the y-axis is the penetration force with a puncture test. And As the fruit gets riper, you get more, the range is more compact. So when the fruit is at 35 or even above Newton of compression, you have a wider range of penetration. And so that was repeated with the different, you know, the other two varieties. Well, Kent also from Peru and Tommy Atkins. University of Florida has a non-destructive measurement, near-infrared measurement from Felix brand 7, and we were trying to measure, and so that instrument has been tested with different fruit, but not with mangoes. So we're trying to get data, well, University of Florida, to get data and to correlate. She is my tongue. To correlate the firmness. So we found acceptable prediction for firmness for compression. Not, we don't have enough data for the puncture test. Slice firmness, we show with all the data that the firmer the fruit remains firmer, being cut remains firmer in storage. Sensory evaluation, okay, that's another key slide. The softer the fruit, so you can see the two graphs, have a more orange, so there's more orange color, and they look more moist, so the firmer fruit tends to dry out in storage. But however, the firmer fruit keeps a nicer sharp edge when it's cut and in storage. We have less fresh browning with firmer fruit. The translucency gets sometimes, the translucency means the fruit tends to fall apart, and it's greater with 25 with the softer fruit, and the firmness, perceived firmness, is higher, of course, with the 25, with 35 Newton fruit, and the fruit is sweeter, the softer fruit is perceived as sweeter. So what is the best firmness? I think I'm confident in saying that with 35 Newton firmness compression test, we still can go up to 10, 11 days of storage. Can we improve shelf life? So we try different coatings to improve fruit that were selected at 35 Newton. And so those coatings, what we found is that the antioxidant really improved the anti-browning. So it did improve, it reduces the browning of the fruit. Calcium ascorbate alone did not reduce browning, but the antioxidants did. So that's, and the same with Kent, so I see I'm out of my time. Modified atmosphere, also we tried that, but there was not significant improvement from modified atmosphere. So the conclusion, uniform ripeness is the most challenging aspect when processing fresh-cut mangoes, and conditioning the fruit in ripening chamber is a possible solution that started being implemented or educated by the National Mango Board. Preliminary tests with MAP did not provide clear benefits, and processing fruit at 30-35 Newton gives a shorter life with better tasting fruit than was desired commercially. And antioxidants, calcium ascorbate plus citric acid and acetylcysteine did improve. So I'm going to pass that slide, and I thank you very much, and I'm sorry for the going over time. Thank you.